From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 8th day of November 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Look at the cash grain markets with Matt Bennett from TGM in Windsor, Illinois, and the agricultural weather forecast with Pete Levitt, agricultural meteorologist. Along the way, we'll hear from Dave Dickey. He has filed another report from the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention taking place right now in Kansas City. Today, Dave talks with Murray Wise about land values across the Midwest. Stay with us. It should be a really good Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Let's take a look at the numbers as they settled up in Chicago. For a Thursday afternoon, futures in the soft red winter wheat pit at $9 were up 6 cents. The March contract at 9.16 up 8 and a quarter. And May futures at 9.21 and a half up 7 and a half cents. July futures $8.94 and a quarter up 4 and a quarter. That's for the new crop soft red. The hard red in Kansas City finished $9.40 up $6, or rather up 6 and a half cents for the day. December futures for the corn pit now 7.41 and a half, down 2 and 3 quarters. The March at 7.43 and a quarter, 2 and 3 quarters lower. The May corn, $7.40 and a half, down 2 cents. July at 7.33 and a quarter, a half cent lower. And September, down a nickel at 6.55. December contract of next year at $6.38 and 3 quarters, down 2 and a half cents on the afternoon. November beans, $14.99 and a quarter, down 9 and a half cents. January futures, $14.95 and 3 quarters, 11 and a quarter lower. And the March at $14.76 and a half, down 8 and 3 quarters. May futures 14.56, a nickel lower. Next year's November contract in the bean pit 8.5 cents lower, at $13.37 and 3 quarters. Bean meal finished at $4.62.90, down 6.60, and bean oil was up 20 cents at $48.82. Live cattle futures in the February contract at $129.35, up 50 cents. April 32.5 higher at $133 even. January feeders for the day at $145.87.5 on its settlement price, up 37.5 cents for the afternoon. And the lean hogs finished $86 even on the settlement price, a nickel higher for 100 pounds. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media and comes to you from the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. December crude oil futures, $85.18 a barrel, 74 cents higher. The RBOB, or wholesale price of gasoline, up 2 and 6 tenths. That's a $2.61 and a half. And ethanol in the nearby at 236 and 7 tenths, up 2 and 3 tenths. The spread between the two is about 24.8 cents, and that's just about 3 tenths of a cent wider than it was yesterday. Natural gas for the day at $3.60 and 7 tenths of a cent, up 2 and 9 tenths in the heating oil or diesel fuel, just about even for the day at $2.95 and 9 tenths of a cent. Gold futures on the afternoon at $1,726, up $12, and the U.S. dollar at 80.79 is up 0.04. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. We should see skies that are partly cloudy for the day with a southwest wind at about 10 miles an hour. And we should see sunshine eventually with a high of 51 degrees. And then tonight, mostly clear, a low of 37 on a south wind at 7 to 9. And sunny skies tomorrow with a high of 62 degrees. Mostly cloudy Friday evening at a low of 47. Sunny skies Saturday and 68. Partly cloudy on Saturday evening in 52. On Veterans Day, Sunday, a 30% chance of showers, mostly cloudy, a high near 66 degrees. It'll be breezy on Sunday. And then Sunday evening, showers likely, possibly a thunderstorm or two, cloudy, a low of 43 degrees. Monday, showers are likely, mostly cloudy and 44. Monday night, partly cloudy and 27 as it cools down again. Tuesday, mostly sunny and 42. Tuesday night, cloudy and 28. And Wednesday, sunny skies and a high near 46. We'll have a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with meteorologist Pete Levitt. He's in Massachusetts and still probably will give us an update on what things are like after Hurricane Sandy. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. It is Thursday, November the 8th. On the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural futures markets is Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's start with the soybean market for the day. Last week, we were talking about maybe a head and shoulders bottom in the process of being made. Still in play or just gone now?
It's about on the verge of being gone. It's not totally gone, but the backup plan is maybe a double bottom.
Oh, well, there you go. Oh, you liked it, so it went a little lower for the day today, and now we got a double bottom.
Yeah, so you could maybe we might get a double bottom. I don't know. We'll have to kind of wait and see. But no, that the head and shoulders that kind of looked kind of promising there 5 days ago when I talked to you, just kind of piddled out on us, basically on larger private production estimates for soybeans. That's what the trade has kind of had on in his head all week here is, well, if crop is going to get bigger, I might as well get out. So we've just had a steady weakening, long liquidation type thing. It has got, though, some of these technical indicators now to the point where they could, the momentum, I think, might be starting to dry out. So I suppose a surprise tomorrow morning and the bean thing would be just an unchanged number or just up slightly, that would probably perk it up a little bit. And, you know, a higher week of close ain't really out of the question. So we'll have to kind of see what USDA does with the production. And then, of course, what they may do with maybe Brazil and Argentina and world estimates, too. So we may end up with a positive report after all, but the chart doesn't look real promising at the moment.
Does a double bottom hit in a cycle someplace for you? Is there a cycle?
Yeah, I'm in the camp that somewhere in here this market's going to try to catch and try to give us a year-end rally. Like I said, I'm not too sure what'll fuel it. I think, you know, wheat has ammunition now to kind of take off like a rocket if nearby Chicago wheat starts slicing through the 9-10 area thereabouts. There's some, I mean, you're going to hear technicians talk about 12-something wheat, and if wheat would take off like that, that would definitely spill over into the corn market and the bean market and pull them higher with it, as, you know, rising waters lifts all boats.
Well, we're still awfully high on the high end of what we would consider, I suppose, the longer-term trade for this marketplace. Do you think there's very much upside potential
in soybeans?
You pick the commodity. I don't know.
Well, corn, I think, and soybeans, you know, maybe. We talked a little bit about it this morning. I mean, I think we're economically, we'll see how Boehner and Obama hammer things out, and then we'll see whether or not we go off the fiscal cliff, and then we'll see whether or not the budget deficit gets raised. Yeah. And but I ultimately believe that we're just going to see continued more printing of money, more expansionary money, and I think that's all ultimately bullish commodity prices. Now, the question is the average consumer, is he going to spend all of his money on food prices and energy and doesn't have anything else to do? That may be the case, but that's what the easy monetary policy is going to do. The consumer is going to spend all their money putting gas in their car and putting food in their stomach, and they ain't going to have much left to spend. So that kind of restricts demand, too, to a certain extent, and that keeps the economy in a recession yet. So we'll have to see, but I think the dollar is still vulnerable to a big decline at some point in time in here. It may not happen until after the first of the year, and then I look for bonds to kind of fall apart too. So I'm kind of bearish for 2013. There's several other things I'm looking at. So I guess I would be in the camp that if the dollar does fall apart and the commodity markets respond to it on the upside, I would kind of view that as opportunities for farmers to kind of size up their marketing options for 2013.
Well, hopefully we won't be talking about a triple bottom when we get to a month from now, and you'll be telling me that those are made to be broken.
That would say that we're going to go down to $14 pretty quick.
Okay. Hey, thank you so much. That's Dan Zwicker. He's with CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Illinois Public Media's Sean Powers now joins us here on the Closing Market Report with a look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the nation's worst drought in decades is worsening in other key Midwest farm states, but things aren't nearly as bad in Illinois. The U.S. Drought Monitor's weekly update shows 60% of the land in the lower 48 states is experiencing some degree of drought. That's down less than a percentage point from last week. In Illinois, 42% of the state is in some form of drought, but unlike much of the Midwest, none of Illinois is in the worst two drought categories. The Illinois Farm Bureau's John Hawkins says he doesn't expect another severe drought to impact the state's farmers next year.
I'm not sure if we're going to be totally out of the drought come spring, but compared to areas west of the Mississippi River, we're going to be much better off than we were this past summer.
The U.S. Agriculture Department says Illinois corn and soybean growers have virtually wrapped up their harvests, and nearly all of the winter wheat crop in Illinois is now in the ground. Three-quarters of that crop has emerged. The U.S. Commerce Department reports that the nation's trade deficit has fallen to the lowest level in almost 2 years. The Commerce Department says the deficit narrowed to $41.5 billion in September as exports rose to a record high. Economists do not expect the gain in exports to last, however, with the global economy slowing. OPEC says that fossil fuels will remain the main energy source in the coming decades, with coal share growing and oils falling. In its annual World Oil Outlook, OPEC also projects that a barrel of benchmark crude oil will cost $155 by 2035, compared to under $100 now. The report, published today, says the use of fossil fuels as a percentage of world oil use will also decrease only marginally from 87% now to 82% by 2035. And the report notes that there are more coal reserves, mostly in the U.S., than oil and gas. And if you can't beat them, then eat them. That's what environmentalists, researchers, and policymakers are saying about Asian carp. James Garvey is the director of the Fisheries and Illinois Aquaculture Center at Southern Illinois University in Carbondale. He says that Asian carp are now the dominant fish in major Illinois waterways, and that they can serve as an ideal high-protein food.
You know, most of the talk with Asian carp has been, let's ship these off to Asia and other parts of the world where they're desirable. But quite frankly, there's really nothing wrong with folks in Illinois throughout the state taking these fish and consuming them.
Meanwhile, the Illinois Department of Natural Resources provides Asian carp meals to needy families through one of its programs. The state is also supporting private efforts to harvest and sell the fish in China. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Sean. Sean Powers is with Illinois Public Media, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. You can always hear him on our website at willag.org, along with all of our agricultural programming, including Commodity Week. Our guest this week on Commodity Week, by the way, Sue Martin of Webster City, Iowa. Commodity Week, it's our weekly look at what's been happening in the world of agriculture.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/FarmerView.
Well, up next, farmland values in 2012 trended higher, but Murray Wise, the president and CEO of Champaign-based Murray Wise Associates, says the volume of farmland sold was down from 2011. Dave Dickey has more from NAFB in Kansas City.
Murray, start by telling us how 2012 was for sales of land, and then go on and talk about what you see for trending for 2013.
Dave, in 2012, we have seen what we would describe as a relatively quiet marketplace from a farmland point of view, and there were not near as many sales in 2012 as there was in 2011 from our point of view, and that there's just not a great appetite to sell your 3.5% returning Midwestern farm today and to put it on deposit at the local bank for 15 or 25 basis points. That just is not a very good strategic move, shall we say. And as a result of that, there's just been a real barrier to people willing to market their good quarter section, half section, whatever it happens to be. And there's just been a real lack of sellers. We look at a number of Midwestern counties on a go-forward basis, and if you look at a county like it's either Piatt or Moultrie, and the last time we researched it, only 0.3% of the farms traded hands in a 12-month period of time. And you would think through death and estate planning, there should be more than 0.3% of the farms change hands. The last time we did that research, the greatest county of sales was McLean County, but it was only at 1.05%. And again, you would think more than 1% of the farms should, in fact, trade hands in a 12-month period of time.
And 2013?
2013, we've seen a little flurry of activity here at the end of the year of people wanting to sell and close by December 31 because of the capital gains tax rate. But I think that 2013 will be more of the same. First of all, the estate tax is most likely going to come back at a level that most people find pretty unacceptable. And there's just not a great desire to sell until we do, in fact, have higher deposit rates so people have an alternative for that capital.
So what needs to be done to alleviate the barriers that you've been talking about?
Well, higher interest rates, number one, would create a flurry of activity, Dave, in my opinion. But I just don't see that happening, and I don't think the Federal Reserve sees that happening in the imminent future. So, again, what could change that? I really don't know.
From the buyer's side, though, there is a lot of cash sitting on the sidelines.
Dave, there's more cash sitting on the sidelines than there's ever been in your and my lifetime, and the cash is piling up daily, and there is just a phenomenal amount of not only farmer as in the neighbor cash available, but there's a phenomenal amount of investor capital available, and that cash is having a very, very difficult time finding a home, henceforth the kind of prices we've seen in 2012 relevant to sales in Illinois and Indiana.
Can you give us a real-life example that illustrates the point?
Well, we recently sold a very, very marginal farm in southern Iowa, and it would belong to a dentist in North Carolina, and we told them it would bring $2.1 million, and most of the viewers in your listening area wouldn't even want to farm it. It was so marginal, okay? We told him to bring $2.1 million, and he said, oh, he really hoped it would bring $2.2 million. And in 45 minutes, the property brought $3,148,000. And my wife was working at the auction, and when I came back from looking at the property, she said, did you see anything you'd like to own? And I said, make sure when I leave this county, I don't own anything. And yet it sold for 50% more than we thought it would sell for.
Will that continue in 2013?
I think it will, Dave, and it's almost unfortunate, but there was so much cash in that room. A week ago Friday, it was just absolutely unbelievable, and there were just people with a lot of money looking for a place to put that money.
From your standpoint, what do you need to tell sellers and buyers to be looking for on the horizon that would be informative for them?
Well, I think if we saw a shift in interest rates would be the first thing to watch out for. From a seller's point of view, you know, I know they're having a hard time making a decision because, you know, they in most cases don't know what to do with the cash. The buyer's sitting there with the cash and just really wanting to find a home for that cash. Let me also share with you, we still have a Murray Wise Associates office in Clarion, Iowa, where we do, you know, the farm leasing and the things that we did historically as Westchester Group. We've already had a number of March 1st, 2013 cash rent payments made, because they feel more comfortable giving us the money, making us responsible for it, than they do the security of their local bank, and they're probably outside of the FDIC insurance barriers. And so we've had people already come in and pay 2013 rents, which, again, is just a reflection of the strong cash position of the operating Midwestern farmer today.
You do have a pulse on rents. Are you seeing any change for 13?
Well, 3 months ago, Dave, I made when I was asked that question, I made a prediction that I thought we would see 10 to 15% lower rents in 2013. Quite frankly, my pulse at the moment tells me I'm dead wrong, and I think we're probably seeing 5 to 10% higher rents, which, frankly, I'm not comfortable with because we're most likely not going to have the commodity prices that we enjoyed in 2012, or the commodity sales prices that we enjoyed in 2012, which would be directly reflected if you look at Dease corn for 2013, a little over $6, and that's still a good price, but it's not what most farmers sold a lot of their corn for in 2012.
That's Murray Wise, the president and CEO of Murray Wise Associates. He spoke with Illinois Public Media's Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programs as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
It's Thursday. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us, as usual, is Matt Bennett from TGM in Windsor, Illinois, to look at the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
In your area, I'm sure you've been wrapped up for a while. In fact, I know that's the case. What are you seeing in the way of movement of grain out of the elevator to end users?
We're not seeing a great deal. We're actually moving a little bit of corn to our feed mill, and other than that, we're not really seeing a lot. And most of the corn we're actually sending in our feed mill is a little bit of corn that we carried over into this year, old corn. We have had a little bit of aflatoxin, not too bad, but in the new corn. So we've been trying to focus on mostly the old corn, and otherwise there's nothing going on.
There are lots of discussions about aflatoxin in the new crop corn, and especially in the southern areas. You're in a more southern area of the state. What kinds of problems does it create for end users and for elevators and producers that are trying to deliver to those end users?
Well, it's going to be to be honest with you, it's probably going to be a nightmare, Todd. Production animals, I guess, that are going to market can tolerate quite a bit more aflatoxin than what breeding animals can, and so you're trying to basically figure out where you're going to ship this stuff to, and then maybe bring some good corn in where you can blend as well. And it's going to be a bit of a jigsaw puzzle. I'm not so sure that we won't be in a situation like we were back in 2009 when we had to carry corn into the next year, in some places. I'm not saying everyone, but I wouldn't be surprised if some people may have to carry some corn into next fall just simply to be able to blend it off and get rid of it.
Yeah, on that note, and we only have about 40 seconds here, does that mean that producers in your area cannot expect a big basis pop in looking for corn because that basis pop comes in some further distant area?
I still think there could be some chances for some of those just simply because there's not an abundance of corn really anywhere.
All right, thanks much. What's your bids for the day?
Yeah, cash corn 745, Jan 755, cash beans 1488, and Jan 1498.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Matt Bennett is with TGM in Windsor, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. Back in just 2 minutes when we'll talk about the weather forecast with meteorologist Peter Levitt here on IPM.
It's National Harvey Wallbanger Day. It's also St. Hesterus, Patron of Cattle Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1789, Elijah Craig, according to some historians, distilled the first bourbon whiskey from corn in Bourbon County, Kentucky. What's not in dispute is that Craig founded a distillery, as well as building Kentucky's first cloth manufacturing mill, its first paper mill, and its first mill for manufacturing rope from hemp. In 1880, Edwin Drake died, an American driller. He discovered the first productive oil well near Titusville, Pennsylvania, that launched the modern U.S. petroleum industry. He struck oil at a depth of 69 feet on August 27th of 1859. Drake used an old steam engine to power the drill. Ironically, Drake died in poverty after years of crippling illnesses. In 1910, a patent for the first electric insect zapper was issued to William H. Frost of Spokane, Washington. The invention used a number of electronically charged parallel wires. In 1923, Jack Colby was born. An American electrical engineer, he invented the first integrated circuit, for which he shared the 2000 Nobel Prize in Physics. And in 1974, London's famous flower and vegetable market moved from Covent Gardens. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. On this Thursday afternoon, we're joined by Pete Levitt, agricultural meteorologist. Pete, thanks so much. I know it's been a rough couple of weeks for you and the rest of the folks out on the East Coast. First, tell me about the consequences of Sandy in your area. It's been 2 weeks since we talked to you.
And, well, we were on the edge of it here in Massachusetts. Just south and west of here, of course, where all the trouble was, mostly southeastern New York, Long Island, New Jersey, those coastal areas really got battered. We were fortunate enough to be spared any of the ocean effects, which was the real troublesome problem, the storm surge, which frequently is the main culprit in tropical storms and hurricanes. In this case, it was that way in spades. I mean, it was the ocean surge that did most of the damage that's going to be permanent. The rainfall wasn't all that heavy, except down in parts of New Jersey. It was mostly the ocean coming into your living room that was the problem down there.
Not a good thing. And then you had this nor'easter that came up the coast, too.
Yeah, that one was by minor circumstance. We just picked up about 2 inches of snow out of that this morning here, and that wasn't a major issue. I guess just coming on the heels of Sandy, in which people don't have power, and still in a lot of areas of the metropolitan New York area and down into New Jersey. Boy, they really got battered on this one.
Have you had time to look at South America and the weather forecast there and what the crop conditions might be like, or do you need to stay closer to home?
No, I need to stay closer to home this time. We did get some rain in Argentina slowing down some of the winter harvesting there, no dire weather down in South America.
All right. So tell me about the forecast for here in our part of the world.
Okay. Well, we've got another one of these weeks of the weather starting out one side of the ledger, ending the other. It's going to start off on the warm side, warmer air working its way in today. And tomorrow and Saturday it'll be quite warm, temperatures averaging maybe 12 to 16 degrees above normal for this time of year, getting well up in the 60s, hitting some 70s. And then a sharp cold front comes along through the western Corn Belt on Saturday night and producing some light showers there, mostly in the eastern half of the western Corn Belt from central Iowa on eastward. And then that front comes through Illinois and Indiana on Sunday, producing some pretty good rains. It looks like a pretty solid inch of rain we could get out of this anywhere from Arkansas northeastward through Missouri, Illinois, up into Michigan out of that system, with heavier amounts up to maybe 2 inches or so central Illinois downstate into southeastern Missouri. And then it clears out and it turns milder again. It'll be cold behind that front that's bringing all the rain. It won't be as cold as it has been, and temperatures will start to warm up by the end of the week. But really quite a change in temperatures coming, and enjoy the next couple of days there before the cold front and its rain arrives.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yes, it's my pleasure.
Mm-hmm. That is Pete Levitt, agricultural meteorologist, joins us here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.